Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Divine. This is episode 26 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in this podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on godly parenting. So we did part one last week, actually 2 days ago. And my goal in that podcast was just to serve as a good introduction to explain to you what the right perspective should be on kids. That kids are not there to give you a nervous breakdown, or kids are not there to completely destroy your destiny or completely hold you back from achieving your dreams, or they're a burden to you. No, the Bible says children are a gift from God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So I'm just going to go ahead and continue, right? So today I'm going to be focusing on how to steward your children, because again, the children you have are an inheritance, and an inheritance will be a blessing to you when you use that inheritance wisely, when you take good care of that inheritance. But if you don't, then it can become a curse to you. Again, I kind of left out at our last session with the prodigal son. He got his inheritance, but that inheritance, he did not take good care of it, and that thing almost destroyed his life. It was the mercy of God that ultimately brought him back. So I'm going to talk about, in this podcast and probably the next one or two podcasts, I'm going to talk about some practical tips for being a godly parent, for just stewarding your children right. And then you'll notice that parenting is actually not the thing that will destroy you. No, it's actually a thing that will end up blessing you. So what is the first thing you should do in stewarding your children? In fact, this is probably going to be the focus of this one podcast, is pass on a godly heritage to them. Pass on a godly heritage to them. The thing is, the fact that you're a child of God now is many times a reflection of the fact that, you know, someone passed down a heritage to you, right? So the thing is, don't be the kind of person that you are so good in many areas of your life, but then in terms of your family, in terms of your kids, you're not doing a great job. You see, some people, their work is more important to them than their children. They are more willing to spend more time at work than spend more time at home with their kids and train them. They are more willing to spend time sitting down, watching TV, watching Netflix, watching the NBA, watching many things for hours every day, and then they don't spend any quality time with their kids, right? Or you see them, they are more willing to hang out with the guys or hang out with the girls than spend time with their kids, right? They are more willing to sit down and spend hours and hours and hours on social media than to sit down and train their kids and impact their lives positively, right? Even some people that are Christians, they use the work of God as a cop-out to not take good care of their families. Let me tell you this. Many people have their priorities wrong in the kingdom of God. Your first priority is your relationship with God over everything else. That should always be your first priority. But let me tell you this. Your second priority is your family. This was one thing I learned in marriage counseling before I got married, that your home is your first ministry, right? So even over the things you do in the house of God, your home is much more important. Many people take that in the wrong order. They're like, oh, you know what? Oh, because I'm doing the work of God. You know, you see some people, they never spend time at home. Their kids never see them because they are doing the work of God. Brethren, it should not be so. That is the wrong mindset. And that is one ploy that the devil uses to completely rip apart families of Christians, right? You pay lip service to your family, but boom, oh, every day they see you hours and hours and hours. Oh, I'm doing the work of God. Oh, I'm doing the work of God in church. No, you cannot be unfaithful to your household and be faithful to God. No. One way of being faithful to God is actually by taking good care of your household, right? So you need to remember as a parent, especially as a dad, right? You are the man in the home, right? Not even your responsibilities in church should trump your responsibilities at home. You are the priest of your home. It's your responsibility to not leave anybody behind. Because if you look at Eli, the example of Eli, you know, did not, he was a man of God. He was the priest in Israel. But he did not do much with his children. When he was told of the things that his sons did, if you look at the book of 1 Samuel 2, verses 22 to 25, he just reasoned with his children. He just gave them like a light rebuke. He didn't really do anything in that circumstance. But this was a person that was supposed to enforce God's laws in the land. The thing is, many of us don't realize this, but you are your child's parent. You're not supposed to be their friend. One friend does not discipline another, but a parent does, right? The thing is, some parents are literally controlled by their kids. They are manipulated by their kids. And kids, they can be very manipulative. They can be very intimidating, right? You see these parents, they're like, oh, I want to show my kids love. The thing is, when you don't discipline your child, you hate your children, right? Because you are raising someone that will end up in a juvenile center or end up in the prison system. That will not be your portion, right? But the thing is, you need to discipline your kids, right? You see some parents, they want to be their child's friend to the point where they don't want to discipline them. Again, when you don't discipline your children, you're showing you do not love them. Look at Eli's actions in the Bible. He did not prioritize his family. In fact, if you look at the book of 1 Samuel 4, verses 17 and 18, right? If you notice, in 1 Samuel 4, 17 and 18, Eli, when he heard that his sons had been killed, nothing happened. He didn't flinch. But when he heard that the ark of God had been taken away, that was when he fell over in his chair and died. So guess what? This man did not prioritize his family. The death of his sons didn't mean anything to him. It was when the ark of God fell that he was like, oh no. And then he fell in his chair and died. It's not supposed to be so. It's not supposed to be so. Again, after your personal relationship with God as a parent, your next chief priority should be your family, even over what you do in church. Again, remember, the same God that called you into the work also called you to raise your family. The same God that gave you that business, gave you that career, also called you to raise your family. And the thing is, God warned Eli multiple times. He warned him in 1 Samuel 2. He warned him in 1 Samuel 3. But he did not do squat. He did not change anything. Again, the God we serve, he loves when you balance things, right? He doesn't want you to be very good in one area. Oh, wow, this brother loves the Lord. This sister loves the Lord. But then your home is in complete chaos. No. Even Samuel, the great prophet in the Bible, he was a great, 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 great man of God. But if you look at 1 Samuel 8 verses 1 to 3, Samuel's sons, they did not truly serve God, right? Or if you even look at the book of Acts 19 verses 11 to 14, right? Many of us know the story of the seven sons of Sceva, right? They were doing all these evil things. But guess what? Their father was a Jewish chief priest, right? Again, the fact that you're a man of God doesn't mean that your home will automatically work itself out. No, you need to pay attention to your family. So how do you pass on a spiritual heritage to your children? Well, teach them in the way of the Lord. Correct them in the way of the Lord and do it regularly. If you look at Deuteronomy 6:7, correct them regularly, right? Don't teach them for a short while. You see some parents, they are very they discipline their kids for a few years and then they say, oh, you know, these children are grown. They don't need to be disciplined anymore. No, no, right? Discipline is a lifelong process, right? It's a lifelong process. Right? It's a lifelong process. Involve your kids in spiritual activities. Bring them to church. Don't leave them at home. You see some parents, they come to church, then they leave their kids at home. No, bring them to church. Don't leave them at home. If you're coming for Bible study in church, bring them along. If you're coming for an event in church, bring them along. Expose them to the things of God on a constant basis. Because remember, that thing you constantly expose yourself to will eventually become you. Think about it. If, for example, there's this particular song that you listen to over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, even if you're not intentionally trying to memorize that song, you will just notice that, wow, after a while, I know the lyrics, I know where the beats inflect, I know every single thing about the song, right? So if you keep exposing your kids to godly activities, especially in this wicked world that we live in today, then they will become stronger Christians, right? So when there is family devotion, don't just be, you see, like, for example, in some homes, when family devotion is going on, it's just the dad that is praying. It's just the mom that is praying. They don't involve their kids. No, that is not what you're supposed to do. Make them pray. Make them read the Bible. Make them explain what they understood from the Bible. Make them memorize portions of scripture, right? Because I remember in Nigeria, when I was growing up, my dad, my mom, they'll wake us, all of us up. So I was from a family of five. They'll wake all of us up very early in the morning. And when we get up, early, like early hours, like 6, 7 a.m., we're up and we're doing family devotion and we are all praying, right? My dad makes each and every one of us pray, makes each and every one of us read a portion of scripture, right? That is what is supposed to be done, right? And the thing is, all these things that you're trying to train your kids or discipline them to do, incentivize these things, right? Incentivize these things. So again, it's very important because again, the more you do these things, the better you're pretty much setting your children up for the future, right? Again, family devotion in my present home, Family devotion is a tradition now because it was modeled to me as a child, right? Or like, for example, by the grace of God, I'm a physician. When all these habits of being able to study, be disciplined, prepare ahead of time, prepare months in advance for something, where do you think it came from? It came from my upbringing, right? It came from my upbringing. And really, besides exposing your kids to godly activities, one other thing I will say is that to pass on a spiritual heritage to your kids, and I'm going to be wrapping up here soon, be the kind of individual you want your children to be. Be the kind of individual you want your children to be. The thing is, whether we like it or not, children are a carbon copy of the parents they live with. Children, they are a great sponge. When they see their parents do something, they will want to do it. That is exactly what they're going to do. So set a good example. Set a good example. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine because you are showing them the way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. So that means you are already taking that path. And then the child says, oh, dad and mom are taking this path, so let me take this path as well. Right? So if you want your children to be something, literally, just start doing that thing. When you start doing that thing, when you start setting a good example, you'll notice that they will change. Like there's this famous show called 9911. You'll see that many times, if you look at many of those episodes, the nannies are not actually really working on the children. They're working on the parents of those children. Once the parents fall in line, the children immediately gravitate towards doing the right thing. If they notice that dad is not yelling at his mom all the time, yelling at his wife all the time, then they will start being more respectful to mom. They'll start being more respectful to dad. So I think I'm going to go ahead and pause here. There is definitely a lot of stuff I still want to unpack here, but I'm going to go ahead and pause here. And again, one thing I want to say about passing on a godly heritage is one of the best ways you can get that godly heritage for yourself is by giving your life to Christ. Again, giving your life to Christ is one of the best decisions you can make for your life. So if you want to say that prayer of salvation, I want you to say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I confess I'm a sinner. I confess all my sins, O God. I forsake my sins. I repent of all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe that you died on the cross. You shed your blood to save me and to purify me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the power to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations. Congratulations. You have received a godly heritage, right? So now, build up that godly heritage. Take good care of that godly heritage by spending time in the Bible. A good place to start is the book of John. Just start from there, read it, do what it says, and you'll notice your life take a turn for the better. And also seek community with other believers. Find a Bible-believing church. Because there are many churches that have the name of God on them, but they actually preach heresy. They actually do not stand with biblical principles. They modify biblical principles to fit the time so that they fit in with the current world. No, you're not supposed to fit in with the current world. You're supposed to show the current world the way. You're supposed to be an example to the world. So I'll encourage you, find a Bible-believing church. Personally, for me, again, there are many Bible-believing churches. For me personally, if you're interested, attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. There's many parishes in pretty much every state of the U.S. and pretty much all over the world, right? There's thousands and thousands of parishes all over the world. There's probably one within a few minutes walk or driving distance of you. So if you're interested, just go there, right? Speak to the pastor, join the services. Again, just seek community with other believers so that you can grow. So thank you for listening to me. And by the way, I know that initially I set a 10-minute limit on this podcast, but I'm going to expand that limit because I just feel like there is so much that God wants to share with people through these podcasts. Again, I'm not going to make them hour-long podcasts or anything like that, but I will start departing a bit from 10 minutes. Again, as much as is possible, I'll try to stay under 10 minutes. But for the most part, I would occasionally go over that time limit. So thank you for listening to me. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a wonderful, blessed week ahead, and I'm really hoping that God favors you this week and blesses you in everything that you do. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Amen.